Hello and welcome everybody to So How Is Your Weekend with Shannon and Craig. This is Craig. I hope at least that you would figure that out by now. Shannon's over there tucked behind some cardboard.
Here I am.
There you are. I can barely see you over there. We're both wearing trucker hats today, but we wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Boston Marathon event weekend we have coming up for us, but this is a couple weeks past. But before that, we have to ask and find out what the answer is for the worst question in the world, in search of life for the most interesting...
I'm going to stop you right there.
I never get this.
In search of interesting answers to the world's most boring question.
Very nicely done, Shannon.
I have been practicing.
This is like our 10th episode. I should probably have that down or written down by now.
Yeah, you need to get it dialed in.
I can't. There's nothing in my life that says dialed in. Except for the dial that I use in my shower. That's my bar soap.
Wow. Yeah. We're off to a great start.
We're doing great.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay, so Marathon Monday is what it's known as in these parts.
Or Patriots Day if you're from Massachusetts.
Or Patriots Day if you are from Massachusetts. That's right.
Mm-hmm. We used to get the day off from school, obviously, Massachusetts holiday.
I remember being delighted by that when my family moved from New York to Massachusetts, and I was very grateful for the Patriots.
That's right.
Not the football team. Don't get it twisted.
Everyone in this world should be thankful for Tom Brady. Just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't ruin our list. Don't
ruin our friendship again.
Again. Oh, that was the other part of listener mail that we got about how you... We got a couple of comments about how you had no idea about the hockey team in Lake Placid. That came up. I was just as shocked as you were that she had no idea. But, you know, other people chimed in as well. So, thank you for backing me up, everyone.
I'm learning about the world.
That's right.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Oh, Marathon Monday. Here we are.
Here we are. So here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, we are about to leave this weekend in about 2 days again. This is 2 weeks after. So you guys are hearing the pre-courting and our pre-search. We're going to go do the stuff this weekend. And then you'll be hearing the follow-up in a couple weeks. Right now.
About how it went.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
It's a strange time-space continuum to be recording podcast before doing things and then coming back and recording days later after doing the things. And sometimes I think we forget that it all gets put together, so you listeners end up hearing about it all at once.
I clearly forget
that. Yeah, so I'm just...
Thank you. This is why we're teammates. Yes.
So, okay, you, Craig, are the one that is actually doing what I would call a substantial athletic achievement.
Yes, I am running, and you are doing something that I would call a substantial fashion crime. And you are going to be riding your bike in spandex and comfy, chamoyed nether regions.
Yes.
In public.
So, yes, you are running the Boston Marathon.
You are biking.
26.2 miles, along with how many people?
It set the world record in 1996 with 38,778 people.
That's dope.
That's a lot of folks.
And I am not riding a bicycle during the official Boston Marathon. I will be participating in the Boston Marathon Midnight Bike Ride, which is sort of an unofficial bike ride of the Boston Marathon route at midnight the morning before the official marathon.
Yeah, and while we'll both be in Boston doing Boston Marathon stuff, we probably won't even see each other.
We may not.
Yeah.
Or we may.
So, who knows what will happen. But yeah, two separate events, same weekend, but the same event.
Together, but not together. Mm. Associated.
Associated.
Yeah. So, should we get into some history as we like to begin with?
Absolutely. Do you want to go back and forth on this? History?
I say we go Boston Marathon first. Has a much longer and storied history, I'm sure. Mine is fairly new and not of particular historical significance at this stage, so
okay.
Mine will be short.
Just for all the listeners out there, we do 10 minutes worth of pre-search on the internet, and as a heads up, the 10 minutes to do the Boston Marathon pre-search was not justice for anything. I mean, it's a big event. It's been run now for 112 years. This year will be, like, I think, the 112th year. So there's a lot of history into it, and so 10 minutes worth of research to find the points that I want to talk to you guys about and tell Shannon about. I'm going to be missing a lot.
You're skimming the surface.
I'm barely touching
this. Will we call this Boston Marathon 101?
Ooh, maybe like...
Remedial Boston Marathon?
Yeah, like summer remedial course before you get into Boston Marathon 101.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're fulfilling the prerequisite.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. So...
Hit me!
Hit ya. I'm going to go back further because I thought the information just about marathons was important to the history of the whole thing.
That's going way, way back.
Way, way, way back. And then I'm going to jump forward to the Boston Marathon. But it goes way back to 490 BC with a guy named Phippidides. And I know I messed that up. And there was like I's and E's every other letter and a couple of D's and PH's. So I got Phippidides is my best one. And that's in Greek history. And the word marathon actually came from the place in Greece called Marathon. And he was a messenger. He ran, they say, about 25 miles, saying that they had defeated the Persians. And he was saying, Niki, which meant victory, which sounds awfully like the brand of my shoes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. N-I-K-I, victory. N-I-K-E, Nike, love you. Running in, you guys. My shoe of choice, thank you very much. So he was shouting that out. And then I guess he just toppled over and died right after.
I thought I recalled him dropping dead.
Because, you know, it's not fun to really do unless you want to. So that was like the start. So that's where it got its name. Fast forward, we're going all the way to 1896. And the Olympics were being held in Olympia, Athens. So they said, let's have a commemorative race being so-and-so miles. And they did it. So they made it, again, 25 miles.
So the first marathon was 25 miles.
Was first 25 miles. And actually, the first four or five marathons all had different distances.
Because how did they end up with 26.2? Am I jumping ahead?
No, you're perfect. Except that in 1897, on April 19th, Boston decided to have their very own marathon. So it was the Olympics in Athens that spawned the start of the Boston Marathon. So the very next year, Boston said, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it all the time. 35 people entered that year. 9 people finished for the first marathon held. Let's jump to 1908 to answer that question about how we got 26.2.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
Is the Boston Marathon then the first non-Olympic marathon?
It is the world's oldest annual marathon.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, 26.2... 385 yards comes from the London Olympics. So the Olympic Committee set the distance from Windsor Castle to White City Stadium in London, and it was 26 miles. But for the finishers to finish directly in front of the royal box, they had to add the extra yardage.
And the queen wanted it to be so.
The queen wanted it to be so.
Hey.
And that's, and it stuck because it was like, again, another Olympic thing. So that's where the 26.2 and 385 yards.
The precedent was set.
Right. And that's what I have for history before we get into a little bit more Boston stuff. So I'm ready to take a break because I'm exhausted and I haven't even ran yet.
Schooling me on all he has learned about marathons in general, mm-hmm. and now moving on to the Boston Marathon specifically as he prepares to go run the Boston Marathon in a few days.
It's true. I'm also, as we speak, eating Hershey Kisses by the handful. So I am ready, fueled up, and ready to go. There was one more thing I just want to take a second back, and I'm going to do this year in my marathons. I've run a few, but I didn't know this. So with the royal family situation, I read that it was tradition for when you run the last mile, or like the 0.2 and 385 yards, that you yell, "God save the queen." So I'm going to break it out.
Really?
God save the queen. I'm going to break it out for Boston. And hopefully that'll be something that I do all the time. So I learned that.
A new marathon tradition.
A new marathon tradition.
Sweet.
Yeah. So there's a couple of other really interesting things I learned about the Boston Marathon specifically. There's a lot of stuff that we know. We know 2013, there was the terrorist bombing. That's been made into a movie with Marky Mark.
Of course.
Of course.
Every movie involving Boston will have a Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah, that's right. So that tragedy happened. So I just want to put that back on people's radar. That was 2013, so not too long ago. Boston is one of the 6 major marathons in the world. All right. That's fun.
I can buy that.
It is one of the 5 major events in the United States that takes place, which I did not know. The other ones being like the Kentucky Derby, Boston Marathon. There's like clearly 3 more events
that I'm assuming this is... Is this determined by number of attendees?
I think it's
number of spectators.
Tradition of stuff, I believe. Like, with that, the number of attendees or spectators or whatever it is. But there's this rich history of the 5 major events in the United States that happen annually.
Okay.
So, it's one of those, which I had no idea about. It draws about 500,000 spectators along the course. 1996, as we already mentioned. Had over 38,000 runners, and it took a long time, and we both wanted to touch on this, really. We never really talk about stuff, but we made a point to talk about women being involved in the running.
I think unintentionally it becomes a recurring...
Oh, yeah, with ski jump.
...issue in... Essentially, any sporting event that we have researched, it's unavoidable to look at that disparity between men and women in sports.
Yeah. So roughly 80 years later, after the Boston Marathon started in 1897, in 1972, the first woman was registered as a runner.
Like, that means was allowed to sign up and given a bib number and was a legitimate participant
right.
in the marathon.
There were other people who ran it before. Bobby Gibb ran it in 1966. One of the most famous pictures of the Boston Marathon that you can actually run across is in 1967. Catherine Switzer, who had her race bib on, registered as K.W. Switzer. So it didn't indicate it whether she was male or female, was given a race bib, but that picture of her running, and actually the race director went over to try to pull it off mid-race. So that was 1967.
And the story of Bobby Gibb is pretty cool, too. The year before, in 1966, she didn't even attempt to register under any pseudonym or anything. She just, from what I understand, hid in the bushes... kind of waited for the race to start, and just like out she popped in her hoodie and Bermuda shorts to just sort of blend in with the crowd. And from articles I've read, it became apparent pretty soon into it that she was a woman, and generally speaking, all the male runners were really welcoming and encouraging, and I just think...
Good for those guys for sticking up. I mean, that's the right thing to do. And I didn't intentionally mention that race director's name who tried to take Catherine Switzer's name off, or bib off, because he doesn't deserve it. Let's forget that guy. And now in 2015, from the latest stats that I got, 46% of the race participants are women.
Ladies.
Nicely done. And the women's races, I love the women's race. There's some great U.S. females out there running.
So fast. They are running so fast.
So there we have it. That's what I have for my history of the Boston Marathon.
All right. Thanks for that.
No problem.
My history of the Boston Marathon Midnight Bike Ride does not go back to BC whatsoever. It goes back to 2009 when a BU student, Greg Hum, came up with the idea for this event. And at that point, I think he posted something on Facebook and about 50 people showed up around where the marathon starts. It starts in Hopkinton, but this bike ride begins at Southborough Station, I think for the convenience of transport.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 people biked this in 2009. Just totally unofficial, unsanctioned, just a dude with an idea inviting people to ride their bikes. The third year, he teamed up with, I'm so psyched about this, the Boston Society of Shenanigans. It's a thing.
Wow.
That I really want to learn more about.
I want to be an inductee.
Yeah, or I want to start a chapter. Yeah.
Patent pending.
Patent pending, yes, for sure. So they teamed up to spread the idea, and it quickly grew up to well over 1,000 people riding after that. An article I read said last year it was estimated over 3,000 people rode, and... So that's a lot of growth in 7 years, and this will be the 8th year. Yeah.
Do you know how many people are doing it so far this year with your sign up?
I only know that more than 500 people have said yes, they are going on Facebook. Okay. But I don't think that that gives any type of accurate indication as to the number of people that will
That's attend. So cool.
So, I am looking forward to it.
And what's this guy's name who set this up?
Greg Hum.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, it's unsanctioned, but things I read said it's well-run, considering it's not an officially organized event. It's very peaceful. Everyone's very respectful. Good news, the course is mostly downhill, which I am psyched about, because I haven't been on a bike in a couple of years. And yeah, that's the very short history of the little event that I'm doing.
Well, you can do the recon of Heartbreak Hill, because I haven't seen Heartbreak Hill, and that's at mile 20. And that's really where I guess people hit the wall. So you can do my recon the night before.
That's the main uphill.
That is the main uphill.
At mile 20.
Right, the worst part of the race.
And so, but what this also means is if my bike ride is mostly downhill, the Boston Marathon course in general is mostly uphill.
No. It's down, it's, the first 16 miles are pretty much downhill.
Oh no, sorry, I thought I was biking the opposite of what you're doing, but I am biking exactly what you're doing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so the first 16 miles are all downhill, then it flattens out, and then it pops up at 20.
Got it, okay.
So
I don't know how I got that so confused.
It's all right. It's the Bud Light.
It is. It's true.
All right. Well, I need to go get some sleep, have some pasta, some Red Bull, some Noon, wear my Nikes, pack some Spam, and I'll be ready to go.
Oh, there are a couple more things you need to do.
What?
You need to cut your toenails.
Cut my toenails, all right.
Pack Band-Aids.
Pack Band-Aids.
For your nipples.
Always, always a thing.
That's all, I mean.
Body Glide.
And Body Glide.
Inner thigh chafing.
Is there anything I need to do?
Wear reflective gear. Please wear reflective gear.
I've got reflective gear. I've got lights. Okay. And a helmet.
Good. That's right. You should. Bike safety. Hey, seriously, folks, wear helmets.
They don't look cool. No one's saying they do.
Some of them look pretty cool. Yeah, some of them are pretty cool. Everyone out there, helmets are cool. You should wear them.
I agree. You should wear them.
Wear them. All right, kids out there too, if you're listening, why? But you should definitely wear your helmet. So everyone, be safe this weekend. Oh, I also heard that it's like an unofficial but Massachusetts biggest drinking day.
Well,
it's Massachusetts or Boston's biggest party day.
That makes perfect sense.
Because 500, you know, half a million people are spectating. Pretty cool.
Maybe we will see each other.
Yeah, woo! Okay, well, thank you guys, and we'll
see you on the other side of this marathon situation.
Yep.
Now we're live.
Now we're live. Hey, everybody. This is Craig. There's Shannon over there. And
what up?
We are on the second half of our very long journey to Boston. And we both survived.
We made it to Boston and back alive.
Made it out to Boston. Ooh. Sorry.
Is that a real song?
It is. Well, it's shipping up to Boston. Dropkick Murphys.
Ooh.
You've heard it. Oh, it's in that Matt Damon movie. The really good one.
Good Will Hunting?
No, the other really good Matt Damon. It's the... You know when he's the Boston cop?
Oh, yes. The Departed.
All right. There it is. Yeah, it's in that one.
Sure. Okay, I do know it.
It was great.
None of that type of Departed stuff went down on our watch that we're aware of.
Yeah.
But other stuff went down.
Other stuff went down. That's what they said. Mm-hmm. So...
Patent pending.
Well, bringing it all back. So this is a really good opportunity for me because we really haven't talked about this. It's been a week and a half since Marathon Monday and the Marathon Weekend, but I haven't really asked you any details about your midnight ride, and you know a lot of stuff about my marathon, so I'm very interested to see and hear what happened to you.
Right. We've seen each other, but yeah, it has not been on our list of things to discuss.
No.
So here we go. Let's discuss it, shall we? So.
Oh, hold on. How was your weekend? A few weekends ago.
My weekend a few weekends ago was action-packed.
Da, da, da.
That's right. So, Marathon Monday. Big day in Boston. I'm going to say it really starts Sunday night, as I have learned. So, I drive to Boston Sunday night. I get there to stay with my friend in the town where the marathon is starting.
Hopkinton,
Massachusetts. And there's a ton of traffic. Everybody's getting into town.
Ugh.
Getting geared up for the marathon. And I got to Boston probably around 9 p.m.
Oh.
And I was going biking at midnight. And I'll admit it was really difficult for me to stay awake until around 11:30 when we left to go bike riding. So I was anticipating this bike ride to be kind of like a hipsterish thing.
Oh, it wasn't at all.
I was surprised that no, it was not at all. There were legitimate cycling people. There was a range of ability levels and cyclingness about the people, but everyone there was into there to just like ride a bike 26 miles. There weren't really many people in crazy costumes or crazy bikes or like trying to be cool. The main thing people were trying to be cool with was the way they lit up their bikes.
Be seen.
Which I really appreciated.
Oh, absolutely.
It was very cool. So it was an interesting experience for me to bike over to the starting line of the Boston Marathon at midnight and be completely surrounded by bikes and bike riders.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because we do Ragnar stuff. And when we run at night, like, that's my favorite part of running Ragnar, is, like, everyone's lit up around you, because you don't get a chance to do that very often.
Right.
It's really, it's a different experience.
One thing I was thinking afterward is doing fitness in the middle of the night might be one of my favorite things.
Oh.
I don't want to do it every night in the middle of the night, but just being up and doing something at a time where generally everyone else is either sleeping or drunk at a bar. I mean, those are the only two things really happening past midnight.
Sure.
Generally speaking. So, to be doing a different thing, such as running, or in this case, riding a bike 26.2 miles, is a pretty cool experience.
It's kind of like sicking it to all the lazy people.
And the drunk people.
And yeah.
Both of those things, yeah.
Yep.
It's like, this one special night, I'm not lazy or drunk.
Yeah, that's great. So I want to ask an in-depth question. Do you think that the 26 miles kept a lot of people from riding? And second part, did you understand that 26 miles was 26 miles go? I mean, I know that you've done some bike riding, so it's not that bad, but 26 miles is, it's far on a bike.
It is pretty far on a bike. Let's be very clear. First and foremost, it's a decent distance on a bike. I couldn't help but keeping thinking, this is really not an accomplishment at all, though. People are running this far in a few hours. People are actually going to run this faster than I just biked it, which was kind of interesting.
Whoa! Did you have a start and end time?
We didn't have a start and end time, but we ended up with sort of a group of my friends' friends, and there were a couple of, like, bike mishaps and just stopping to check in, and no one was really in any rush. Here's what I think about the distance. I think the distance is just long enough that it keeps away people that might be trying to do it just to be cool or be silly, or part of me actually was concerned, like, intoxicated people were going to be riding bikes or show up to do that. And I didn't see any of that. And so I think part of that had to do with the distance. Were it a 5 mile bike ride or something, right, people might think it was more shenanigans, would be more prone to shenanigans. It was a challenge, though. That's the furthest I've ridden my bike from point A to point B without any significant breaks.
And how'd you get from B back to A?
My friend, thank goodness, had gone into Boston earlier that day and parked his car in a parking garage and got a ride back out to Hopkinton.
Did other people who were in that, like, have to bike back? Oh, I suppose most people who took part of this were like, from that area, so did most people just, like, disperse?
So you're bringing up some very interesting logistical questions.
Yeah, because it's a crazy weekend as far as traffic and commuters and space and available.
People covering that 26.2 miles between Hopkinton and Boston. So I had, like, the VIP luxury setup with my friend living right 2 blocks from the start line and having his car set up in Boston. To be honest with you, I don't know that I would do it otherwise, because here are your alternatives. Alternative one is you put your bike on some truck or something in Boston, get on a commuter line out to Hopkinton, and then go, like, retrieve your bike and bike back into Boston. Okay, so that's one way you can do this. The second way you can do this, if you're in Boston, is do an out and back.
Mm-hmm.
And so bike the 26.2 out to Boston and then turn around and go back, which of the two, this the whole train ride thing, I think I would actually rather bike 50 miles than deal with the logistics of the other alternative. And a lot of people were doing that. I was shocked at how many people were on their way out of Boston as we started biking in. So yeah, you definitely have to do some planning to pull this off.
And it was a pretty nice night. It was relatively warm.
Yeah, it was perfect biking weather.
Different conditions, would you have done it?
I am a woman of my word, and I committed to my friend that we were going to do it, and so I would have showed up and done it in any weather. But he had done it a couple of years past, and one of the years it was freezing cold out. And I'm really glad that I did not have to face that.
Yeah, I would have stayed in with a hot toddy right there.
Just hot, popped into the first bar you saw.
Hot buttered rum, make it happen. Yeah, that would have been a different situation.
Yeah, no, it was really cool.
Any accidents?
Nothing that I saw.
Oh, actually, how many, I don't think we got into this, how many people were there in your estimate?
Oh, I don't need to estimate because someone was there with a click counter.
Whoa.
Because I think there's been a lot of debate in past years over the total number of people. So it was close to 3,000 people.
Get out!
Yeah.
That's three times the size of my town that I live in.
It was a pretty legitimate event. I mean, it's a tenth the size of the people running the marathon, but...
Oh, yeah, but still, that's...
That's a lot of people biking in the middle of the night.
That is a great event.
Mm-hmm.
So would you recommend it? If you didn't have... If you knew someone who was interested, they didn't have the VIP treatment, like, would you recommend that as a thing for, like, a bucket list thing or an experience like that?
I would say for sure if you got a group of people together and planned it out together and were in it together, you should do it once if you're in the area and willing to take on that length of a bike ride. It's such a cool experience.
That sounds awesome.
And I got to cross a marathon finish line without running a marathon.
Woo.
Which is kind of a strange feeling, actually. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would recommend it. I'll do it again, I think.
Cool. Yeah, we'll switch next year.
Perhaps.
Woo! The ultimate twist.
We can talk about that later.
Wow.
How about we take a break and then talk about
the marathon.
Running the marathon.
Okay, I can take a break.
Hey, we're back. You just got to hear all about my midnight ride of the Boston Marathon route. And now, we are moving on to the running of the Boston Marathon, starring Craig.
Thank you very much. I'm a history nerd, so when you said midnight ride again, it made me think of Paul Revere. And that made me think of the Beastie Boys.
When you said Paul Revere, I immediately thought of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, nice.
Wow.
No, great. Yeah, so I was, and it was relatively kind of the, well, you went in opposite directions as he did. That Paul Revere, man, good guy. Anyways, yes, I did run the Boston Marathon, and that is very, a loose interpretation of the Boston, of running. But I did it, I finished a spring marathon.
Can we talk a little bit about, well, just even the deep exhale you did right there. We should explain, if you aren't necessarily a runner, what the deal about spring marathons is.
Oh, yeah. So if you live in New England or any cold weather climate in the springtime or during, you know, through the winter, and you have a spring marathon, like you have to run. You have to get out on the weekends and run. And put in the miles.
Oh, wait. It's negative 14 degrees outside?
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta run.
You gotta run. Right? Miles and miles and miles. So, it was, you know, I thought I was in some pretty good shape. I ran two marathons in the fall, nearly back to back. I continued to run 10 to 12 miles every weekend, but I did not put in 20 or 23 or 26, whatever it is, to get prepared. So it was a struggle, but the good news about that struggle is I didn't have to run my own race, which was good and frustratingly bad.
What do you mean by that? Please explain.
I would love to explain. I was in, so the Boston Marathon, you have to qualify with times. And with your qualifying times, they put you in sections of waves so that the people around you will be of your ability and you can sort of pace off of each other. So
makes sense.
Faster people in front, slower people in like the later waves. And then there was my section, which goes after all four of those qualifying waves, which was like the corporate fundraising, sponsorship, Boston Marathon stuff. And so there are people who were runners. I would consider myself a runner, but there's people in there who also weren't runners. And so when you pack roughly 7 to 10,000 people in a wave who shouldn't be running or don't run very often.
Or who are running very varied paces.
Yes, or running in very large groups. It takes away from the experience. And so I was not able to run the pace that I want. In fact, I ran it like a minute and a half slower than when I usually run my race pace marathon. So it was good. It was bad. It was frustrating.
It was just such a huge amount of people that there was a lot of bobbing and weaving right. And traffic jams.
Traffic jams. Yeah. Somebody who I talked to after, as I was sort of debriefing the marathon, said it was said it was just a river of people. Like, you could not cross the river of people to go across to the other side of the road. So trying to get a pace, trying to get comfortable, you weren't able to do that. You ran whatever anybody else around you was running. So it was great. I loved it. Boston was awesome. A little bit frustrating that I couldn't go and run Boston as my race.
Right.
So.
So you were surrounded by people running all different paces. So that's one downside of there being so many people. But one thing I don't think we talked about in part one is, I believe for you, though, this was your first big city marathon where pretty much spectators are out the entire time you're running. And I was wondering how that felt, because I know a lot of races I run, and probably you run, you have some people cheering you on at the start, kind of periodically, and then people at the end. But this is, was it 26.2 miles a fanfare?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what people ask me. They're like, how was the race? And I immediately jump into, have you ever been there and experienced the Boston Marathon? And if you have, let's talk about it. But if you haven't, think about for 26 miles, 26.2 and all the extra stuff, people 3, 4, 5 deep on the side of the road cheering for you. And it was just amazing. I've never seen so many people. You couldn't stop. You couldn't help but be motivated. You couldn't help but smile. And it was just, that itself was an event. And I understand now why it's an event for the college students to go out and drink and party and hang out all day. Because it's an event.
It for sure is.
It's an event. So
I was in Hopkinton at the start line the morning of, and I was so glad I was there. The energy was amazing. There were tons of spectators, tons of runners, and it was pretty cool to watch 30,000 people run by me with just the biggest smiles on their faces. Everyone was so excited coming out of the gate. So even, you know, as a spectator, it's an event.
Yeah, it's a thing. If you go to any sort of Boston University or any college or whatever you're doing, like, they were out. They were in full force. And I think in the midweek, I talked about Boston College being at the top of Heartbreak Hill and getting you into Boston. Man, Boston College, man, I'm telling you, forever on my, like, awesome list.
And was that sort of your I have arrived moment?
It was. I think there's a really nice transition there. You know the hills are over. BC's there. Everyone's out there having a good time supporting you for hours. For hours. I started 2 hours after the first wave went through.
Yes.
So these people are out, you know, 5, 6 hours of doing this and cheering and clapping. And it was amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah. But a little bit frustrating for the waves. So my recommendation, as I was thinking back, what I would do is, if I were to run again the Boston Marathon, I would definitely first try to qualify. And if I was going to go the corporate route again, I would try to get a group of people and like run together. Like I would have enjoyed running with you for 26 miles.
Having a pace going.
Having a pace, having a companion having nearby.
To chat with.
Yeah, because again, it's you experience this thing, whether you're going on a hike in the woods or you're going to like a baseball game, you have an experience with somebody. So you're able to sort of look left and right. But if you are having that experience by yourself, it's a whole lot more memorable. Unless you're going to go and run a race. So it was great.
Sweet.
I know.
It was also a very well organized event.
It was very well organized. I think
it's very important to point that out, because something of such a large scale could go disastrously wrong and be super frustrating for everyone involved if it isn't well organized. So who's in charge? Boston Marathon Commission? Yeah, something like that?
The Boston Athletic Association, the BAA.
Okay.
You can check them out, baa.org, and get a whole bunch of information about the Boston Marathon. But
they rocked it.
It's amazing. Again, not only are all those people out celebrating and having a good time, sometimes some being like intoxicated, but the crowd control, the fences were up. I mean, we ran through, you know, just about downtown Boston, hung out for a little bit downtown, and by the time we took the car out, those fences that were holding spectators back were already picked up and the trash was clean. Like, mm-hmm. It was an amazing turn.
Within a few hours.
They do a very nice job, and to do that.
And obviously, coming into Boston as a spectator and probably as a finisher too, it was just an easy area to navigate, even though it was really congested and crowded, mm-hmm. and in a city center to meet people and find people.
Yeah.
So just want to shout them out for making it a well-organized event.
Yep, it was great. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
All right. I'm trying to think about whether or not I have anything else to say.
I saw a lot of people peeing and pooping in the woods, like, before we got on to, like, to run. There was, like, crazy porta-potties, and there people were like, I just gotta go.
You gotta
go. From, like, the bus from Boston Commons to out to Hopkinton was about, like, a 50-minute bus ride, and people were like, I gotta go.
Stuff like that is, for some people, it's part of running their race.
Yeah.
They're doing what they gotta do when they gotta do it. On the other end, at the finish area, I've been to a couple of marathon finish lines. There were far more people like sitting and laying on the ground puking than I've seen. So we should also mention the weather was unseasonably hot, and we talked about people being outside training in the winter. Here's another thing about a spring marathon. If your body has been training in winter and you get an unseasonably hot day, you're getting heat stroke, yo.
Yep. Absolutely.
So there were people in super rough shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it was about 5 degrees cooler, it would have been a little bit better. But the day started out so different. Is that it started out really sunny and warm, and then it got really cold and overcast.
And windy.
And it really messed with people. Because people were getting really, really hot. And then they're already straining their bodies, and then it got really cold. So a lot of people were coming out of there with hypothermia. Something like 10% of the people who ran ended up going to the med tent.
Pretty intense.
That's intense. It was intense.
Oh!
That's right.
Well played there.
Yes.
One thing I want to say is congratulations, because running 26.2 miles is a huge accomplishment. I don't care how many times you've done it, you still deserve mad props.
Well, thank you very much. You're welcome. Congratulations for riding 26.2 miles in the middle of the night.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right.
We will wrap this up, and we'll be back at you soon. Write to us on Facebook,
Twitter,
Gmail,
Snapchat. So how was your weekend?
Snap us a chat.
WKND, not the whole word.
Right. How was your weekend, WKND? Instagram.
Oh, and another shout out to Matt and Kim. I just want to say hey to them.
Oh yeah, I saw one of their videos and I'm pretty into them too, so I'll also say hi.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah, so I think we'd cover that in the midweek thing, but I'm pretty sure Kim sent a direct message to us telling me to take an Epsom salt bath and liked our stuff. So what up, Matt and Kim? We'll see you soon. Actually, you should run New York City when you do it next year and do another Matt and Kim playlist. That's two majors set to Matt and Kim music.
Wow.
Mm.
That's a great suggestion.
Cool.
All right. So long, folks.
See ya.
Hey, Craig.
Oh, hey, Shannon.
You ready to spit some fire?
Some hot fire. Dylon, Dylon, Dylon. I'm just kidding. That's my favorite Chappelle Show skit. Anyways, so we have to leave you with a Kanye quote. And really, I've been into Kanye a lot lately. And we probably should have a debate about this via Twitter on his best songs. And I think, personally, Jesus Walks is Kanye West's greatest song. So I'm picking one from this that also relates to the marathon.
All right.
It goes, from verse 2. Now hear ye, that's how he says it. Now hear ye, want to see thee more clearly. I know he hear me when my feet get weary. That's right. You just pray to God that it's over.
Boston Marathon.
Boston Marathon. Believe in your flyness.